Hanukkah Sameach, and welcome back the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Sunday, the 27th day of the month of Kislev and the third day of Hanukkah. I hope that everyone is having a wonderful Hanukkah weekend and had a great Shabbos as well. Thank you to our amazing and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU email. A lot of stuff on Hanukkah in those emails, but certainly check it out when you have a moment. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And as always, please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Josh Kornick of the Congregation Beth Israel in New Orleans, Louisiana, Metairie, if you want to be exact. Good to have welcomed him back to the program. We had him a bunch of months ago to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Kornick slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Chav Gimel, Kuf, Chav Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by the Mishnah Berach L'Cholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Kornick to learn more about his wonderful community in New Orleans. L'chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Kornick.
Thank you so much, Naftali. Thank you for inviting me back to share some Divrei Chizuk today. And thank you to the OU for hosting this call, and to all of you who continue to call in and join and pray for the healing of our community and of our greater world. And as well, Hanukkah Sameach as well. I hope everyone is having a happy Hanukkah as we're today on the third day of Hanukkah. Now, thinking about the third day of Hanukkah as sort of a fitting symbol for where we are right now, in our response to this virus. For so many months, we've been looking for the light at the end of the tunnel and trying to wait and anticipate better days ahead, days when we can see a return to normalcy. And it sort of reminds me of the story of Hanukkah, the miracle of maintaining faith even in the darkest times, of that little bit of oil that's enough to remain lit, to not only stay illuminated, but to spread and spread light far and wide on the light of our tradition that continues to spread. But right now, we're not on that first day of Hanukkah anymore. We are at the third day, a time when there's increasing light, and I think we see that this weekend with the exciting news about little by little vaccines coming out, and hopefully in the coming months, we'll be able to return to something closer to the normalcy that we're used to. But at the same time, we recognize the darkness that's out there. That we still have a few months ahead that are going to be very challenging, very difficult times. So we have more lights, light increasing to grow, but with the darkness as well. And thinking about Hanukkah related to the parshiyot that we're reading right now, and specifically the parsha that we read yesterday, Vayeshev, and the story of Joseph, I realize that actually the miracle of Hanukkah is sometimes the opposite of what we think about. Joseph, when things are dark, when things are difficult, that's not when he has the struggles with faith, with emunah. God seems to be very present in those dark times. It's when things are when he's doing better, when things are looking up, that's when it's harder to demonstrate and speak about that faith in Hashem. And the miracle of Hanukkah is really that miracle of the Maccabees continuing to give thanks to God and demonstrate that loyalty to God, even when things are good, even when they're successful. They don't see the miracle as coming from them, but they see the miracle as ultimately coming from Hashem. So on that note, I really have just immense gratitude to all of you who are here on this call and who continue to call in, even as things are beginning to look better. And we don't feel that same sense of darkness we felt in the earlier days of the pandemic. Nevertheless, in that increasing light, and hopefully in the months ahead, as that light continues to grow, we'll still remember to put God at the center, to feel that faith, to feel that devotion to Hashem, and experience that, just like ultimately in the Hanukkah story, that combination of great light and great loyalty allows our tradition to flourish. Hopefully that's something that we'll all experience in the weeks and months ahead. So again, thank you all for joining us for all that you continue to do, to pray for healing of those we love and healing of our country as a whole. We'll now begin to recite Tehillim, starting with Perech Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizamor le David, Adonai roi lo echzar, bino tedeshe yarbitzini, alme menuchot yenahaleni. Nafeshi yishoviv, yanecheni b'magli tzedek lemahan shemo. Gam ki elech b'keitz al mavet, lo irara ki ata imadi, shiftecha umishantecha, eima yinachamuni. Taroch lefanai shulchan neged zorerai, Dishanta b'shemen roshi kosi revaya. Ach etov v'chesed yirdefuni kol yemei chayai, v'shavti v'beit Adonai le'orech yamim. We continue with Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph, chapter 121. Shir lemalot, esta inayel harim, eayin yavo ezri. Ezri meim Adonai, ose shamayim varet. Al yitein amut rogalecha, al yanum shomrecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilcha yad yiminecha, yomam hashemesh lo yakeka, ve'areach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikora, yishmor et nafshecha, Adonai yishmor tzecha uvoecha, me'ata ve'yad olam. Finally, we'll recite Tehillim Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir Hamalot, Nimamakim Karaticha Adonai, Adonai Shim Abekoli, Yenoz Necha Chashuvo Lechol Tachanunai, Yim Avonot Yishmoria, Adonai miyamod, ki imacha hasalicha, lema'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi, velidvaro hochalti. Nafashi l'Adonai mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, im Adonai el chesed varbeim ofedut, vehu yifte et Yisrael mikol avonotav. At this point we'll recite the Mishnah Berach for the Cholim, following the tradition of Maishal of Congregation Beth Israel and Medary will recite the Misha Berach in song to the tune of B'Shem Hashem.
Misha Berach Avotenu Avraham Yitzchak Ve'Yakov Ve'imotenu Sara Rivka Rachel Ve'Leah. Uivarech ve'irape et acholim ve'et acholot.
I encourage you to share the names of those you're praying for healing. בעבור שאנחנו מתפעלים בעברם, בשכר זה הקדוש ברוך הוא ימלא רחמים עליהם, להחלימם ולרבותם להחזיקם להחיותם, וישלח להם מהירה רפואה שלמה מן השמיים, לכל עבריהם ולכל גידיהם, בתוך שאר חולי ישראל רפואת הנפש, רפואת הגוף, may God give them the healing and strength that they need, and send a speedy healing from heaven. Hashta bagavat vizman kariv, v'nomar, amen. We'll conclude with the words of Achenu, praying for all those who are in need of healing of all sorts. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetanim b'tzara b'shivya ha'omdin bein b'yam uvein b'yavasha ha'makom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzar l'irvacha me'afela l'ora m'shivu l'igu'ula hashta bagala v'zman kariv v'nomar amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Pernick. As we transition into the next segment of our call, the portion of the call that was not something we were doing at the time that we had you on many months ago. First and foremost, how are you and the community doing?
Thank God we're doing pretty well, all things considered. New Orleans, in the earlier days of the pandemic, had some rough days. I think Mardi Gras is believed to be responsible for some tough days here, but fortunately we're doing reasonably okay. Unfortunately, in our community, everyone's doing okay.
Certainly happy to hear, and as your message shared, we're in a better place now. It doesn't mean that there aren't many people experiencing challenging times. Many people have lost or there's been those who've been sick, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel now, and that's the light of Hanukkah. It's a great parallel in the idea that you shared as we look with, cautiously, but with optimism towards the future. So to get us started, for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your community, I've had the great privilege to visit a number of times. Could you give us some background and overview of the shul and the community in general?
Sure. Our synagogue has a great, strong connection with the OU, and as Naftali mentioned, he's come a number of times, and beyond that, a very strong connection, particularly with NCSY groups, who for years have been coming to visit New Orleans and volunteering here. Our synagogue, Beth Israel, goes back to 1904 as officially a congregation, but its roots actually stem back even further into the mid-1850s, into 1858 was when the first Orthodox congregations in New Orleans began to form. In 1904, they joined together to form the Congregation of Beth Israel, which, New Orleans is not the largest Jewish community, certainly not the largest Orthodox community, but has had the presence going back at this point, over 150 years. The congregation originally was in New Orleans proper up until Hurricane Katrina. Some of you might be familiar with the story of Beth Israel flooding and the Torahs being, and all of the, essentially everything within the synagogue being destroyed. And the OU is very involved in helping Congregation Beth Israel to rebuild now actually in Metairie, which is outside of the city, in a beautiful new building. So that's a little bit of our community's history. We've come a long way. We're no longer in the same place where we were physically, but those ties are still there. Our community is many people who are multi-generational, many generations connected to this congregation.
Absolutely, and I will attest to the new building truly being a beautiful one. And then the community itself, wonderful, beautiful people. So our next question for you, what drove you to go into the rabbinate? To become a pulpit rabbi, offline, you and I have discussed, you spent some time in Durham and in North Carolina. You're now, I think, in your second year at Beth Israel. I guess your first year was somewhat eventful and that COVID began midway through. But as you can give us some of the thought process of what propelled you and pushed you forward to want to get specifically be a pulpit rabbi.
Absolutely. So my father is actually a pulpit rabbi up in New York, and so I sort of grew up in the pulpit rabbinate. My father is actually a Reform rabbi, so I grew up in a somewhat different pulpit rabbinate, but in many ways, the similarities outweigh the differences. And for me, I always was sort of drawn to that lifestyle, just seeing the variety of roles and tasks that my father played over the course of a day, of a week, from teaching to life cycle events to public programs to, you know, just kind of this whole variety of tasks was something that always interested me. And then for me, as I sort of found my way into the Orthodox community, it was a matter of figuring out where exactly, how does this fit? I taught for a few years. I actually taught in Atlanta and in Charleston, South Carolina, where I lived for a few years. And over those years, beginning to more and more get a sense of where I wanted to go in my professional life, and eventually reaching that point of beginning to pursue smicha. And as soon as I started the smicha process, the process of beginning to train to be an Orthodox rabbi, I sort of knew that I wanted to go back into the pulpit. As much as I enjoyed teaching in schools, there was something that I really missed and something I really wanted to do what I saw my father doing, just that opportunity to play so many different roles. Teachers, of course, do it as well, but really felt like that was something that I was drawn to. And really from my early days in yeshiva, I started working up in Maine, in Portland, Maine, at a shul up there. And very part-time, but just felt drawn to that kind of community building work.
Amazing. Truly, truly incredible. And you reminded me, mentioning Charleston and Atlanta, I knew about those ties as well. Very connected to the South, as I'm shocked. You mentioned Portland, Maine, going north, but with you, it's been so many stops here in the South. And we're all truly fortunate, especially the your community matter is to have you there as a rabbi. Last question for today. Gone through so much during this pandemic. There have been many, many changes to the way we as synagogues, as communities are operating. Obviously, there's the technological opportunities of Zoom and being able to access and be connected in those ways. But maybe thinking a little bit more differently, what communal changes do you anticipate for your community, perhaps in the broader Jewish community, as we now look to the future? Please God, hopefully soon, we one day will hopefully be a post-COVID-19 world.
Absolutely. And I think we're all anxiously awaiting those days when we can return to normal and be able to have programs in the shul more regularly than we can right now and being able to gather as a community. And I think that's something I imagine all shuls are waiting for and looking forward to, being able to gather in person in the ways that we have in the past. But I do think there are those sort of hidden blessings of the last 9 months, 10 months, as synagogues and rabbis have had to learn to adapt. And in that process of learning how to best serve congregants, realizing certain ways in which these learnings don't need to stop when the pandemic is past, there's so many things that, you know, and people who we're reaching now who we might not have been reaching as effectively before. Just thinking about my community, which I'm sure any community can share some of these, some of these realizations. We have a number of members who can't come regularly to the synagogue in person, whether that's because they've moved to other communities, because it's harder for them to get out of the house, and being able to connect with those people in an ongoing way and enable them to feel part of the community fully, even when they can't leave their houses, has been an incredible blessing for a number of our members. You know, members. Some of whom because of age or illness, and some because of just moving and new jobs and such have taken them elsewhere, who've once again really become part of the chevra of you know, the really the community of the synagogue, has really been incredible. And hopefully that's something that we can keep on doing. I actually feel like I'm one of the few people who knew Zoom before the pandemic. And when I was teaching classes in person before the pandemic, I usually would have a computer there with Zoom on for a couple of people who wanted to join. But now, as more and more people have gained that familiarity with Zoom and similar technologies, hopefully that's something that we can continue to really focus on, of how we're reaching those people who we might not be seeing because they're not walking through the doors of our shuls, but are still there and still incredibly important, integral members of our community. Yeah, so that's one
certainly
thing.
So.
About. Yeah. And another is just opportunities for collaboration. Another I think, mixed blessing of the pandemic is the opportunity to collaborate with people all across the country. Just last night, we had a Hanukkah party with a friend of mine who's a rabbi in Montreal, who was leading a workshop on making cocktails connected to Hanukkah. And that was a great opportunity to bring in someone who we didn't have to fly in. We can just have him present, and people had a great time. And for now, when I'm teaching classes, often I'll reach out to friends who are in different cities and ask if they want to, you know, co-teach this class, co-teach this, this or co-lead this program. And that obviously becomes harder when we return to fully in person. But trying to think about those creative ways to bring in other voices into the learning in the shul, and introducing congregants to other people who they might not ordinarily get to meet, I think is something hopefully we can all continue to do. And even in the months ahead when we are back to in person, I'm still sort of taking those things that we've learned that have been effective and trying to bring those into our programming and make our shuls actually more inclusive to more people wherever they are, across the country or stuck in their homes, so that they can join us and really feel part of the community.
Yes, certainly so, and something I very much connect with the tagline of our synagogue here in Boca Raton. Boca Raton Synagogue is valuing diversity and celebrating unity, and so certainly so, if that could be one of the takeaways from this pandemic, it would be certainly a positive one. Rabbi Pernick, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community as we are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good. And may the Ravon Sholem, the master of the world, speedily please bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Monday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Unfortunately, the speaker we had lined up had just recently needed to postpone. So we will work on that, but have no worries. We will have everything ready to roll tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a great, healthy, and safe day, and a happy Hanukkah.